step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Welcome to the Big Brown Gadfly, and I am joining you for another episode. We are now on Freedom First TV. Isn't that great? I'm happy about that. I like things named after freedom. I like TV, and I like the people who run Freedom First TV. But today, the Big Brown Gadfly is going to involve a guest named Micah Sample, who's a buddy of mine. We both work on the same team over there at Wokepedia. Hello, Micah. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Bobby?
You know, I'm doing really well because something happened that is worth discussing. All right. We'll get to all of the advertisements and all the housekeeping later. Let's just jump right into this. Micah Sample is a church man. He was a whistleblower at a Wesleyan university. And because of that, he and I both ended up in the same documentary. What was the name of that documentary?
Enemies Within the Church. And you guys can go see that at enemieswithinthechurch.com.
Right. And that's what the website looks like. You should go get this movie. It is so important because right now, not only have the churches been getting infiltrated internally for a long time, but now a lot of people are trying to make firewood out of a fallen tree. You know, there's a lot of people who are swooping in and want to take over these decrepit institutions because there's a lot of money there. And along those lines, we have to talk about what's happening in the Southern Baptist Convention, largest Protestant denomination in the United States, second largest Christian denomination after the Catholic Church, enormous amounts of money. There are six seminaries in the Southern Baptist Convention. All six of them, as of 2 weeks ago, were completely in the hands of the woke, right? They had been taken over by these cultural Marxists. I think that there is a lot more to it than just ideology. I think a lot of this is just straight up corruption. It's an old boys network where people destroy their enemies and put their friends in place. It's kind of like a mafia. But that changed this last week, right? So what happened, Micah? What was the big news that happened at a Southern Baptist seminary this last week that is worth talking about?
So at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, I assume that's a place that you're somewhat familiar with.
Yes, I used to work there.
That's right. Adam Greenway, who was serving as president for, I think, the past 3.5 years, I want to say, on Thursday, September 22nd, he met with their board of trustees, and he decided that he was going to resign. And so they met to accept his resignation from his position as president. Now, he's going to be switched to a position at, I believe it's the International Missions Board, if I'm not incorrect about that. So they're kind of doing what Pastor Kerry Gordon calls the socialist shuffle, which is where they just transfer one woke guy into a different position elsewhere when he gets kicked out of any particular, you know, Christian woke location. But what's really interesting about this is obviously Greenway is one of these guys who, just kind of a real shady character from what I understand. I keep hearing these reports that he let go about 40 to 46 faculty members at Southwestern.
I think it was probably more than that. A lot of the other ones were classified as, quit. They were classified as resignations. There were several who died. In the middle of all that stress. So I think that the number's always going to be shady, but I'll let you know that he gutted the faculty. There is very little left of the institution that he took over 3.5 years ago. And he replaced them all with people from Southern who were acolytes of Al Mohler. So he brought this infusion of the Al Mohler style of Southern Baptist ideology into Fort Worth, Texas, where the seminary is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, of course he did. And then obviously he didn't like our film because we called out some of the things that were going on in the Southern Baptist Convention seminaries in particular. And I believe that it was he who wrote a letter to the president of Mid-America telling them not to show our film, claiming that we were being slanderous and libelous at enemies within the church. Obviously, that's not true. All you have to do is go to enemieswithinthechurch.com and you can find all of our primary source documentation. It's right there. But regardless, I mean, he was very much against our film. He was against what we were trying to do, which is simply to expose what is going on behind closed doors to light when it comes to the woke infiltration of the church. So it's not necessarily surprising to me that such a person who has a track record of being dishonest and of saying things like that and of going after our film would necessarily have not necessarily the wisest decision making when it comes to what he does with his faculty. And it also doesn't surprise me, unfortunately, that he would be so unethical and just gut the institution, just absolutely cut out so many different people, all of whose families were presumably relying upon that income for those professorial positions.
Well, let me lay this out, because you're right. He did write that letter, and he CC'd the chairman of the board, Danny Roberts, who is the pastor at First Baptist Church of North Richland Hills. At that time, he did do that in order to try to make it seem as though the board was behind him. He sought to censor the film. He claimed that the film slandered him. Now, we have to go back and explain what happened. When right. Paige Patterson was driven out in May of 2018, there was this alliance of feminist and pro-gay and various different liberal kinds of people, as well as just people who had a beef, had scores to settle with Patterson, and people who wanted a chance at getting at that endowment, because Southwestern Baptist Seminary has a huge endowment. So they all kind of came together. You had these characters like Bart Barber, who's currently the president of the SBC, who backstabbed Paige Patterson. There was a lot of nasty. It was the Southern Baptist world at its worst. So all of that happened. And then at the time, the Baptist, the seminary trustees at that time announced a search committee. So they had this interim presidency from May to February of 2019. And this is often what very corrupt people do in the church world when they are removing someone, and when they do a hit on someone and they just do a witch hunt and they create a scandal and they remove somebody like Jerry Falwell Jr. out, they'll often appoint an interim president who's innocuous, who's harmless, so that everyone lets their guard down and doesn't worry and they forget about the whole institution. And in this case, that's how things went between May of 2018 and February of 2019. I was working at that seminary, just to be clear. I was a professor there at that time. And we were assured over and over again that everything was fine. There wasn't going to be any kind of major changes. And then in February of 2019, they announced that Adam Greenway comes on board. He comes, and the day that he becomes named as the new, or it was very shortly after he was named as the new trustee, they fired Charles Patrick, who was one of the professors who was also an administrator. So they soon fired all of the administrators one by one. They were all gone out, the dean of student life, all the associate vice presidents, etc. They pulled back the provost and they replaced all of these people with new people, all of whom had relationships to Southern, maybe with the exception of two or three people. They were all people who knew Adam Greenway and Al Mohler because they were all working at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary before that, which is where Adam Greenway worked. Between February and about April, there were widespread rumors on the campus that they were going to fire a large number of people because they blamed Paige Patterson, who had been removed, saying that he had left this huge financial hole. And because of that, they had to trim the faculty. So this was the first major lie that they said. They said there was a financial urgency, and that's why they were firing all these people. So they fired 26 people in one day. And I'm going to tell you at some point during this podcast about how they did it, because it's a reflection of such unchristian cruelty, the way that they did it. It was, yeah, it was a total disregard for human dignity. So they fired those 26. They kept on firing people in the interim. There were people like Evan Leno, who kind of got pushed out. I got fired the following December. It was a trickle of people who were firing. And then in the spring of 2020, then they fired a whole huge crop of people. They fired Leo Day. They fired, I think, Craig Blazing. There was 12 at least in one shot they fired. So that brought the total up to around 39, 40 or so. And then there were some more who continued to get fired. I think the total is probably over 50 professors. But at any rate, he fired all of them. But what he did in the process was he hired all these people, a lot of them at very high salaries. So this proved that this was a lie about there being a financial crisis. So he fired all the minorities who were in senior faculty positions, every single one of them, all the Black and Hispanic professors were gone, and he replaced them all with white men, which was really ironic given that they presented themselves as really woke. They fired a bunch of women because they said that Dorothy Patterson's women's programs were antiquated and anti-female. So all of those women lost their jobs. People like Candy Finch, eventually Sarah Spring lost her job. I believe that Katie, what's her last name? Katie Mc. I don't remember her last name, but she was one of the other women who was kind of doing the women's program. She also got fired. So they fired all these people. They hired people like David Dockery. They hired Daniel Darling, who was a woke person from the ERLC. They kept more people from Southern. And in the process, they destroyed all of the programs. They destroyed the music program. They destroyed the undergraduate humanities program. That was gone. They killed the philosophy program. They destroyed the counseling program because they wanted to get rid of all the people who were doing conversion therapy or what was called conversion therapy. They killed the archaeology program, which was, you know, a top-rated program. And in the process of all this, he was just such a jerk about how he fired people that you had, you know, 45, 46 people, at least, you know, 50 professors, they're just circulating in the ether, all with bad opinions of Southwestern. And he made a lot of them sign NDAs. So I'll explain the role of that, non-disclosure agreements. But it was just, he was a terrible leader. I mean, it was just terrible management. So the attendance plummeted, the donations ceased. He actually sued the foundation to force them to continue to give them money when the people leading the foundation felt that, you know, they did not want to continue giving money to him because he was so unscrupulous. He did all kinds of things where he would have underlings like Randy Stinson, who was his former provost. He would have them call people in and threaten them with their jobs if they didn't obey their code of silence. So they were censoring what you could say to the press, what kind of resolutions you could submit to the Southern Baptist Convention. They were covering up all of their shady financial dealings. They were covering up abuse. There was sex abuse that had happened. David Baumgartner exposed that. There was homosexual abuse that was going on the campus that that they were covering up. So it was a terrible thing all around. We did cover it in the film. The film that you and I were in, this was one of the major breakthroughs that the Southern Baptist world had, was because we didn't stay silent, okay? So I just want to be clear that you don't have to remain silent in the middle of all that. I did not. I took a huge financial and professional hit by speaking out, but I did speak out. I got fired on principle. I went public. Everybody demonized me. All of those professors, they all said I was a troublemaker. They stabbed me in the back, and then they all got fired in turn. So the movie did expose it, and exposed in particular what Greenway was doing with the curriculum. And I can tell you a little bit about that and what he was doing with the policy on women and gays. And of course, the corruption was terrible, the financial corruption and the use of non-disclosure agreements. So there were other things that put pressure on Greenway. You had David Allen got fired, and that was a big deal because he did release all the details about his firing. You had David Baumgartner and I did a podcast together. David is a very far left wing person, but he exposed a lot of the corruption. And I think that these things contributed to it. So I think, Micah, our team can take some credit for this this, I would call it a victory. I don't like to rejoice at people getting fired, but this was a case where they really needed to get rid of him. And I think a lot of the trustees need to go. And I think the administration that came in with Greenway, unfortunately, I think that they're all kind of tainted beyond repair.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And that kind of brings up another question that I had. But I guess you've kind of hinted at it there. People are kind of wondering, okay, was Greenway allowed to do all of this just kind of unilaterally without anyone coming up against him? Or did have the agreement of this board of trustees when he went to go fire all these people and do all of these different things to try to make this institution out in his own image rather than in what it was supposed to be, right, which was a Christian institution. Yeah. I'm just kind of flabbergasted that one person could unilaterally do all of this stuff. So is that kind of how it happened, or am I missing something here?
No, you are. Your instinct is right. It was not a one-man show. This is not Adolf Hitler hypnotizing Germany. Okay, it's not that at all. Adam Greenway was very much working in the interest of power. There were people who protected him. I saw online today somebody forwarded to me. I'm going to have to turn these little notifications off. I'm sorry about all of this.
Adam Greenway's blowing up your phone.
Yes. People are a lot of people are asking me about the Adam Greenway thing, but I want to be able to focus on you. So let me just turn this off for a second. There were a lot of the faculty that were at Southwestern at the time were very much complicit with it, and they pulled out their daggers. Because on the one hand, you could say, well, it was because they were fighting for their jobs and he created a state of anxiety. On the other hand, there were a lot of faculty who had gotten hired at Southwestern, but they were never comfortable with the idea of working at a conservative institution. They were people who had been educated in the college system. They had gone to seminary or gone to graduate school, and then they were hypnotized by the idea of being a scholar, of having this academic legitimacy. And so they wanted the prestige that came with working at a major institution, but they did want to unload Paige Patterson and the conservative theology that came with it. They didn't want to be associated with the anti-gay or anti-LGBT reputation that conservative Baptist thought has. They didn't want to be associated with the traditional role for women. And they did kind of want to present themselves as multicultural. So they were very much in partnership with the changes once Paige Patterson got out. Some of them had very personal grievances against Paige Patterson, which came out in the form of wanting to ingratiate themselves with Adam Greenway. But, you know, all of the people that I'm thinking of, they all got fired in the end anyway. They helped get me fired, helped get some their colleagues fired. At the very least, they said absolutely nothing while their friends were getting driven out of their jobs and were being totally financially destroyed. I mean, there were people who had special needs children and whose wives didn't work because we were supposed to have traditional complementarian households. They had no income coming in after just a couple weeks of after being told that they were fired. And they signed away their right to speak about this for life, because they wanted a couple extra months of health insurance. And then that ran out and these people had nothing. And, you know, you had faculty who sat there and didn't say anything. You know, when I introduced a resolution in May of 2019 to the Southern Baptist Convention that was meeting for that annual meeting in 2019, I said we should denounce non-disclosure agreements because, you know, this is wrong. And the non-disclosure agreements were how they silenced a lot of this faculty. But my coworkers all, you know, they would not back me up. They were working with the administration to get rid of it. So you had a lot of the faculty were who were in cooperation with him. The trustees were absolutely, absolutely part of this. They brought Greenway in for this purpose. Many of the people Greenway brought in with him, like Randy Stinson was the provost for the first year and a half or so that he was there. Absolutely complicit with everything. He was the one who would bring in the firing, and then he resigned after a year and a half saying he had a drug addiction. A lot of the people he brought in, they backed him up. So this was very much, he was part of the whole circle. He was being protected by people like Karen Swallow Pryor. You know, there were a lot of people who were, they formed a force field around him where they would not criticize Adam Greenway. If you'll notice, the Houston Chronicle, even though they reported on all these different cover-ups of sex abuse, they wouldn't report on the cover-ups at Southwestern, neither would the Washington Post. So there were a lot of people protecting him, and he was not a one-man show. And I think you have to take with a certain amount of skepticism a lot of the people who are rushing forward now to condemn him, because many of them, I remember very clearly, were working to advance his cause at that time.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm looking at this whole situation as someone who's not an SBC guy in particular, but mm-hmm. just as someone who has been, I mean, obviously I underwent 4 years of college before, and so I kind of know a little bit of how these mm-hmm. things work. It's just kind of flabbergasting to me that one man, and it kind of can be at the helm of this agenda, and then the Board of Trustees go along with this. Mm-hmm. Or at least, and many of the faculty and staff do too. It's just kind of from what I can tell, it just sounds like first they came for Bobby Lopez, but because I'm not Bobby Lopez,
that's exactly it. I mean, I don't want to single him out by name, but there was a tweet chain that a lot of people wrote to me about by Travis Dickinson. And, you know, he was a coworker of mine. I think he's mm-hmm. probably a good man, but you know, the world is full of good people who don't speak up when it can make a difference, you know,
when they should. Yeah.
Yeah. So now he's posting a long tweet chain about how bad it was watching all of his friends get fired. But I remember very clearly that, you know, a lot of the people because he was in my department, we were both in this College of Humanities. You know, those people didn't say it.
Because he was a philosophy professor, right?
Yes. He was a philosophy professor. They were not going to go out on a limb to help the people who were fired. Mm. It was only when Adam Greenway got ousted. And I think that, you know, some credit has to be given to our team. You know, I think if I had not made those tape recordings, because I tape recorded, remember all the conversations where they were contradicting themselves, lying.
That was a good move.
Yeah. If I hadn't done that, and if David Baumgartner and I had not gone out as a united front to say, look, there's corruption here. Who cares about ideology right now? This is just very unchristian. One way or the other, I'm not sure whether David Allen's story would have had the immediate impact it did. I mean, because when David Allen came forward and said, look, they fired me, I'm like the most beloved professor. You know, David Allen is the most beloved professor in the Southern Baptist Convention. You know, when he got fired, I think people realized, oh, all the things that other people were saying aren't fables. It's true. This is really a very twisted administration. And you just can't function like that and call your organization Christian. I think that mm-mm. we have to look at abuses of power the same way we look at sex abuse. It's just as bad to destroy people's livelihoods as it is to cover up sex abuse.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and I'm glad that you did make those recordings. I mean, when you talk about all this stuff and you say that there's so many people, so many faculty, so many, so many professors and staff who were privy to kind of what was going on. They at least they knew about it, and then they didn't say anything because they wanted a couple months of health insurance. Well, first of all, it's really, really sad. But then it just reminds me of my own personal experience at Indiana Wesleyan University. I mean, in the film, I kind of go into a little bit more detail with that. But suffice it to say that for those in your audience who don't know who I am, that I was fired from my position as an academic senator, and then I was expelled from the John Wesley Honors College at Indiana Wesleyan University because I stuck up for conservative biblical truth, essentially. But what I noticed while I was still there, because I actually ended up being able to graduate, just not in the honors program. What I noticed was that there were professors who secretly sympathized with me, apparently. And then they would kind of come to me in private and they would say, Micah, keep doing what you're doing. I really appreciate you. And just know that some of us out, you know, kind of in the back lines are in support of you. We can't say anything because we're going to lose our jobs if we do, but we do support you. And so there's just kind of that element of, okay, well, if you really, really believed that I was right and you were really in support, wouldn't the truth matter more to you than perhaps, you know? And the thing is, I don't necessarily know if they would have lost their jobs. They might have, but they might have also just been afraid of not being friends with all the liberal people that are on the campus, you know? So there's a lot of different reasons that people have for not saying the truth. But ultimately, what I find is that those people who I think that they censor themselves more and more as time goes on, because if they do agree with you and then they're willing to censor themselves on one thing, then it's not that much further until they're just not talking at all about what they really believe deep down, because they want to go along with what the administration has to say and they want to keep, you know, kind of kissing up to them. You know what I'm saying? So I see that in my own experience, and then I see this happening having happened at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. And it definitely resonates with me, because that's something that's going on. I think that it's not just something that happened at our respective universities or Bible colleges or seminaries, but it happens everywhere on a massive scale that people just don't quite understand. This is kind of a microcosm of what's going on in Christian academic institutions at large, or at least that's what I'm persuaded of.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com. And live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
When someone is hurt in a truck accident, the one question everyone has is, why did this terrible collision happen? To answer that question takes an experienced team of lawyers and experts. Not everyone has this type of experience. At Colombo Law, we are truck injury lawyers. It's what we do every day. When someone is hurt by a truck, Colombo Law is the law firm people call to get answers. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.
I think, well, it's also an extension of what's happening in society with cancel culture. I mean, this is how it works. It's how people are censored. It's how people self-silence. And I think the reality in this case, I'm not sure if this applies to your case, is I can understand why some people signed the NDAs. There were people who had family needs that were really acute, and they did not know where their kids were going to get medication if they didn't have health insurance. I can understand why under that pressure they would do that. But if there had been some kind of concerted effort to resist them, there was a point where they would not have been able to fire them all.
If you've got 46 people that they're looking at and they're like, well, we got to get rid of all these guys, because ultimately you have to assume that they weren't just doing this willy-nilly. They were doing this strategically to some degree because it benefited them, right? Adam Greenway and whatever trustees were okay with this. They were doing it because it benefited them.
Right.
And so I think that there's a degree to which, yes, there are definitely some people that you can kind of understand, all right, this is where you're coming from. You need the money.
Right.
But then there's also people, I think, who, like you're saying, they could have aggregated together and put a stop to this before it got too bad, before it went too far.
That's the thing. I mean, I think that the Greenway incident just shows you how much damage this woke movement can do, even when it looks like they have failed. On the surface, it might look like they failed to flip this seminary, but ultimately when Adam Greenway got there, this was the only traditionalist conservative seminary left, really, in the Southern Baptist Convention. Maybe New Orleans gone in a different direction. And there was this critical time period when, if the professors had stood up and really, really joined forces and said, you know, we're not going to let this happen, okay?
Right.
The students that were enrolled there had the power over them because of the tuition, and I think the trustees would not have been able to avoid or sidestep a major public controversy, you know? But that window passed after a certain point, and then when I came forward, because the big mass firings were in April, I put the resolution in May, and then over the course of the summer, like June, July, August, I was being called in and threatened, you know, my job was being threatened all the time. And then finally, I just laid down the gauntlet with the provost in September of 2019. So this would be 5 months after the first round of mass firings. And I said, I'm going to continue to write about this. You know, you can fire me if you want to, but I'm not going to quit. And I'm not going to stop writing about this. And then he fired me. By that time, it was already arrayed such that I could be alienated. I could be isolated. You know, and I could be demonized. And there was a secretary, I remember, who worked at the college, who was very friendly to me when I saw her. I never imagined that she hated me or anything like that. And then Forrest Davis, who was a Southwestern student who went off to blow the whistle a little bit later, he wrote to me and said that she had basically told her enormous church that I was lying, that I should have gotten fired. You know, so if people had not done those things, then I think that the dissent could have done its job. But by the time now in 2022, now it's 3 years later. I mean, imagine in 3 years, it's like Humpty Dumpty can't be put back together again. You know, all these people have been scattered to the four winds. You've now brought in 20, I don't know how many faculty he hired, but it was a lot. It was several dozen faculty that have all moved to Fort Worth from other places. And what are we going to do with them? Are we going to fire all of them? You know, partly I think to myself, well, you know, if there's a limited number of posts, I think that you should bring back the people you fired because we didn't do anything wrong, you know. But then what do you do with the people? He created a situation where the only solutions we have going forward are more cruelty. That's the only thing.
Well, that's just kind of how woke people tend to operate from my own experience. And I think that you can see that repeatedly through Adam Greenway's actions. I mean, first of all, he fires all these people, right? But then what happens? Okay. And you can correct me if this isn't true, but I heard that they were doing renovations on the president's house and the provost's house in the midst of all these firings. And these are not inexpensive. These are rather costly. Mm-hmm. And so he's personally benefiting from, I guess, the prestige and the position that he had. And then he's firing all these other people, not caring about, you know, where their families are going to get their next meals, ultimately, mm-hmm. or where their kids are going to get their next dosage of the necessary medication that they're taking. He's not thinking about any of that, but he's thinking about himself. Is that true that the president's house and the provost's houses were being renovated at the time?
I have not seen the financials, but I can tell you there was a lot of work done on campus. I can tell you what he and there were many people who came to me that I trust who said that they have seen either the books or they've seen evidence that there was lavish spending. I don't want to confirm or deny those things because I didn't see them myself, but I can tell you that from what I was able to observe, when Greenway got there, his first order of business was to rename and redesign the street signs so that the old logo would be gone. He renamed the president's house. So he got rid of Pecan Manor because that sounded too much like Paige Patterson. And then he took down the stained glass windows in the chapel because it had pictures of the people in the conservative resurgence. And then that picked a fight with Jerry Falwell Jr. Because Jerry Falwell's stained glass portrait was taken down. They changed the logo for the undergraduate college. They changed the format of the sign off on the emails in order to make everything look like different from how Paige Patterson had done it. From what I heard from people, I would like to try to get confirmation on this. I'm pretty sure it's true. They dug up the bones of the pets that the Pattersons had buried there. And everything was blamed on Patterson. Everything what? Greenway did, he blamed on. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then, you know, he said that there was this financial hole that Patterson had left, of course. And so they had to fire everybody and then replace them. Now, when they fired me, what they told the press originally was it was because they couldn't afford to have another humanities professor, which was preposterous. Mm. On the entire campus, there were only two of us who did both Latin and Greek. It was me and Donald Kim. I don't know if I think Donald Kim is not working there anymore. He may have been one of the people who was let go. I was the only person in the undergraduate program who spoke Spanish. I was the only one who spoke French. I had gone on, I had degrees in political science, classics, including Greek and Latin and literature. I had launched a drama club. I was doing a creative writing program. And then on top of the Great Books program, because I was qualified to teach the Greek, the Roman, the medieval, the Renaissance because of the modern language. I mean, to get rid of me, it made no sense. It made no sense. And then they had all of these, people who were all duplicative of the same thing. I'm not saying that those people should have been fired, but it's obvious that the whole thing was fake. We didn't need to be deciding who to get fired. And the proof of that is the fact that they fired us and then hired all these people who were incompetent, who were all from Southern. They were all political hires. I don't know about the issue of him spending lavishly on the president's house. That's probably true. But even if that were not the case, you see how irresponsible he was with the money, because he wasn't doing it for the kingdom. He wasn't doing it for the college. Mm. He wasn't doing it for the students. He wasn't doing it for the convention. I don't know who he was doing it for, but all of his decisions, it destroyed everything. To destroy the archaeology program, there's no purpose for that. There were students who left. Oh, that's the other thing. The enrollment plummeted, and because nobody wants to send their kids there. Oh, he renamed the name of the undergraduate college from Scarborough College to Texas Baptist College because he didn't want the name to sound like Patterson's, the name that Patterson had given him. It was all petty. It was incredibly petty, and none of it helped the seminary financially. The whole purpose of him being hired in this big mad rush by the trustees had to do used of mishandling sex abuse. And then what's one of the first things that Adam Greenway does? He fires me for writing about same-sex abuse, because that's really the core of his argument with me. His administration was angry that I was writing about same-sex abuse. They said that was just an unseemly topic. And the last article that finally got me fired was called, LGBT culture fosters same-sex abuse. I can show you the article that I wrote. So how is it that you come in to clean up Patterson's supposed cover-ups of sex abuse, and then the first thing you do is you're retaliating against people for blowing the whistle on sex abuse? It didn't make any sense. So I think he was profligate. It was very irresponsible, and it was just corrupt and mean. It's a bad combination of things. I mean, many people have accused Paige Patterson of certain kinds of wrongdoing, but Paige Patterson was never that mean. I never in a million years did I see him behave in this way towards people. I'd like to tell you a little story about when they had the first rounds of firing in April of 2019. They had a huge banquet, and they invited all of these professors and the trustees together. And they invited our family, our wives, our some people brought their children, and we were all at tables, and they distributed us around. So there would be two trustees and then like four faculty at a table. And we had to listen to all of these speeches about how the trustees love the faculty, and they're so happy. And then they called up Katie McCoy, who was one of their favorite professors, and then another, I forget who the other professor was, and they praised them publicly. We had all been hearing rumors about the fact that they were going to be firing about a third of us, right? So we had to sit here through this dinner and make nice in front of our wives, not knowing what was going to happen. The very next day, Adam Greenway calls all of the faculty into a conference room in the afternoon. It was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, or, you know, around there. And he goes on this long speech about how all the changes that they're going to make to the college. And then finally, after 45 minutes, he says, yes, we are going to have to let some of you go. Go home and check your email. And if you receive an email saying that you need to meet with Provost Stinson tomorrow, then you know you'll be let go. If you don't get that email, then you can assume that you're going to stay.
Wow.
I mean, so that, it's just sick. It's sick.
It is. Well, it seems sadistic, actually. I mean, there's just an element of that, which is, it's almost like he took pleasure in the, I don't know, just the act of screwing everyone over. I mean, obviously, he just absolutely hated Paige Patterson. Like, that's just, that's right. just clear off the bat.
But that's
the level of pettiness that this guy has, that Adam Greenway has. Like, going down, it just down to the act of digging up somebody else's dead dog.
Yeah,
but that's just insane. I mean, and then taking down stained glass, you know, windows and things, which, by the way, that's an insult to the artist, whoever did that. That's it's also an insult to the artist, not even just an insult to the people who are depicted on the stained glass. It's just and then that kind of ties in, too, with the tweet and the message that he sent about enemies within the church and our project and what we did. Because, I mean, think about the level of pettiness that it takes for someone like that to write something like that and to send it off in a tweet. Like, really, really, you don't have to do that. He didn't have to say a thing. In fact, it would have been better for him if he wanted to, you know, have his own agenda, you know, kind of go unharmed. Probably would have been better for him to just shut up and sing about it, to pay us no money. I think that there's just, there we see a character that is filled with pride that I know the exact correct way to do everything, and everyone before me, or maybe not everyone, but most of the people before me were wrong. And not only were they wrong, but I've got to get rid of all these people. And there's such callousness in what
it's I think that the key is that it became clear to me that this has nothing to do with Christianity.
No,
nothing in the Bible that justifies that this behavior. Yeah. And, you know, and there was a certain point, even though, you know, you and I are in this circle with a lot of people who are very concerned about the ideological drift towards the left, there was a certain point where I said to myself, that's true. I'm worried about that. But on the bigger picture, there's just no reason that anybody should act like this. You know, that aside from ideology, I would not want this done to like a communist who was working at a seminary. You know, I wouldn't want somebody to have to go through that. I never want anyone to go through that. That's why I think, you know, David Bumgartner called me. I had been in kind of in sporadic touch with him. He's very left wing. You know, he went after Tom Buck. You know, although I tried to broker a reconciliation between them, that's another story. But you know, he contacted me because he's a former student of mine, and we did a video together, and that did get tens of thousands of views. And I think it did have an effect because, you know, he is from the left and I'm from the right. And we both at least just looked at this and said, okay, regardless of our ideology, how can someone who is running do all the things that I just described? And they're all like real things. These are things that happened. And then by the way, they lie about people. They posted a statement on their website that's, I think, still up, saying that I lied and that no one ever told me that I was to avoid writing about homosexuality. When, I mean, the audio recordings say it right there.
It's right there. Yeah. I mean, it's to the point where they're blatantly lying about things that they should know that everyone has access to. Like, everyone can see what was going on because you made it plain.
Well, I think
make it any more plain than audio recordings.
I think, Yeah, they became overconfident because at a certain point they had gotten away with so much and they thought that they were perpetually going to get away with it. And I think having the support of the Washington Post, that crew of people, and Rachel Den Hollander, and all the people who were fighting about sex abuse, and you know, they were buddy buddy with Ed Litton and Bart Barber. They thought that they were just never going to be touched. But ultimately, the problem is you can have the support of all the elites, but eventually people have to donate money to you and they have to send their kids to your college. And they have to, you know, the churches have to grow and you have to be producing something or else you are going to be called to the carpet. And that's eventually what happened. I think that they called him in because he was so far in the hole. He also took, millions of dollars in PPP money, which was devoted to making sure that people didn't get fired. And he took it and he fired a bunch of people and then hired people that he didn't need to hire. So I think it's open season. I think somebody should write to the federal government and open an investigation and he should be forced to pay that money back. Let's just add up the debt. Let's just drive that seminary into the ground. I mean, that seems to be maybe the most just thing. But I mean, the level of depravity that was going on there was pretty bad.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And then, I mean, not only does all of this stuff happen, not only is he guilty of treating people so horribly, but then he benefits even when he is forced to resign. Because essentially that's kind of what I'm gathering happened. I don't think that it was like, he's like, oh, you know, I really feel called to a different place right now. No, I think it's really like, no, you screwed over the seminary. Everything is terrible now because of you and your financial decisions. And so, you know, as a result of that, we need you to either resign or we're going to have to do something. So I think that he agreed to resign as a result of that. And then what happens with that, Bobby? Can you tell us a little bit? Obviously, go ahead.
Yeah, it's still very unclear. He's going to be working at the International Mission Board. And if you see right here, one of the things that was recently reported on Capstone was he's been given a 6-figure severance package, which is strange because he only worked there for 3.5 years and he was forced and he resigned technically. So crazy. He gets 6 benefits and he gets this job at the International Mission Board. They're being very subtle and guarded about what his duties are going to be there. But obviously this is a golden parachute. This is just corruption at its finest. I think that what I would say as a positive takeaway from all this, Micah, is number one, I think you and I should crack open a little bit of champagne if we can afford it in this inflation, because I mean, our coverage of it did have an impact. I firmly believe that. I don't think this would have happened without the film and without the whistleblowers that came forward. So this work, as painful as it is and as much of a personal cost that we have to pay, it does have rewards. Okay. So, and the rewards are for the kingdom, not for us. And we got to try to, you know, keep that in mind. The second thing is I do think that there is, I mean, this is a major win. When they forced Russell Moore to resign, maybe that looked like a big deal, but the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, which Russell Moore headed, that's actually kind of financially, it's a small part of the convention. And, and he was kind of easy hanging fruit. This is different. This is the president of a seminary, and this was the flagship seminary. This was Paige Patterson's old seminary. It's in Fort Worth. It's the one that's in Texas. It's got all that oil money in its orbit. And we were able to get this guy out, and there's a lot of attention about it. It's not a quiet thing. They can't cover it up. So it gives me hope that there is a pathway to reform, and we can change. Now, what we've got to do is we've got to keep our eye on it, because here's what's going to happen next. They're going to appoint an interim. They've already appointed O.S. Hawkins, who seems very harmless. And he and David Dockery are going to be co-presidents during the interim. And this is like, it's already looking like they're going to try to find a way to give us another fast shuffle. And it's the same thing they did last time, where they'll probably have these interim people for a certain period, let everyone lose their focus, and then they'll appoint someone who's even worse, if you can even imagine that. But I think that if we continue to report on it, I think things have changed where they won't necessarily be able to do that. I think that they're going to be stuck with us, and they're going to be stuck with the accountability towards people in the convention. They're going to have to answer to them, which is good.
Yeah, well, I agree with that. I mean, what we're doing with Enemies Within the Church and with Wokepedia right now is we're really holding everybody's feet to the fire, because this is really important stuff. I mean, if you guys are looking at the screen, you guys can see we've got enemieswithinthechurch.com pulled up. If you look up at the top, second to the right corner, it says Wokepedia right there. We're writing articles on things like this. In fact, we're going to do an article on this exact subject. It's going to be released really soon. We're holding their feet to the fire in the hopes that there's repentance first and foremost. But if there's not repentance, then, I mean, the only thing that's left, is to hope that God tears these things down. And so when it comes to people like this, it's a good thing that he's no longer there. And I'm hoping that this provides at least some means for a path forward for not just Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, but for other institutions in the SBC and perhaps in other evangelical denominations, in Christian denominations in general, to recognize the problems that are afoot everywhere and to do something about them, to hold people to accountability for whether it's for their financial decisions and for firing people like that indiscriminately, or actually very discriminately, in some sense, or if it's for simply just actual woke teachings. These things are bad, and they're contributing to the destruction of not only America, but I would say Western civilization as a whole. So if we can stave some of that off, that would be pretty good, I think.
That would be good. We have the, I do want to mention before I let you go, Cancel Proof Christianity is coming out. Jeff Dornick, who's my editor, is putting the last touches on the final layout. So that book's going to be available if you want to go to Gatekeepers Online and buy this book, Cancel Proof Christianity. The subtitle, just so you know, Micah, is Stop Complaining and Build Your Own Civilization. So that should help. That kind of goes to what you're saying. And then also, if you guys want, if you feel moved, please consider contributing to Equipping the Persecuted, which is an organization that Judd is involved in. Can you say a little bit about that, Micah?
Yeah, so Equipping the Persecuted is Judd's organization, and they sponsor our Wokepedia podcast and radio very, very graciously. They are involved with persecuted Christians in Nigeria in particular. So Judd goes out there. He's a boots on the ground kind of guy. He's got people on the ground at all times, essentially. They're trying to do things like build schools and build orphanages, build wells. They've done all sorts of things to help persecuted Christians in Nigeria. Now, I know that a lot of you guys might be thinking, well, there's a lot of people who say that they're going out and helping, but how much help are they really doing for these people? But I can assure you 100% that the money's going in a good place, and it's going exactly where Judd says that it's going. And so I would 100% encourage you guys, please donate, please help your brothers and sisters over in Nigeria. Amount matters. We appreciate all of it, and so do they.
All right. Okay. Thank you. And just also one last thing. If you want to follow me, here are my name is Bobby Tabano on Twitter, Getter, Substack, and Facebook. Where can people follow you, Micah?
You guys can, well, I guess friend me on Facebook for now if you want. Micah Sample is my name. You can follow me at Micah Sample 1 on Instagram at the moment, and then at Rev Micah Sample on Twitter.
All right. Thank you so much. All right. So peace out, and I'll definitely be catching up with you again soon. So Micah, hang on a little bit. We're on the other side. We're going to catch up, okay?
Sounds good.